we're going to play pickleball when we retire. We know that. That's what retirees do.
That's my point.
We already know that.
Yeah.
So let's not wait till we're 65 to learn to play. Let's be the best people going in. So like we're going to play once a year for the next 30 years. We'll be good at pickleball by the time we retire. That turned to playing 5 or 6 times a week to turn it open a pickleball club.
You know, is it one of these things where pickleball is continuing to grow so fast that if you build it, they will come? Is the demand still there?
An interesting statistic for you is now the largest demographic, the largest age demographic of people playing pickleball now is 24 to 35.
This is the ProCo 360 podcast for people who love Colorado and love hearing from Colorado's most inventive and successful entrepreneurs. I'm Dave Tabor. This episode is with Adam Kahn and Max Ireland, owners of Third Shot Pickleball, a growing group of indoor pickleball facilities. Now, look, for fans, great, and I'm a pickleball fan too, but even for those who aren't, in this episode of ProCo 360, we're going to focus on the business of pickleball, and I have serious questions about that, about differentiating, about market saturation, about the financial model. So whether you're a player or not, I know you've heard about pickleball, so this will be fun. And by the way, we're here at Third Shot Pickleball in Wheat Ridge on court. Well, what court are we on? Court 5. So you'll hear some background sound, and you know here's where we are. Adam, Max, welcome to ProCo 360.
Thanks, Dave. We appreciate you coming out here.
I'm glad to be here. I do. I love pickleball, and I got so many questions. This, just from an overview, this is a sport that has grown like 233% over 3 years. Millions of people play it. So how'd you guys get into it?
So I was first invited to play pickleball by my older sister who lives in California, who's never beaten me at a racket sport in her life. And so I thought, before I go out there and visit, I'd better learn how to play this sport, and tried it once and I was hooked. It's just so much fun to play.
You know, for those who, I mean, pretty much everybody knows, but to me, I describe it as sort of a cross between ping pong and tennis. It's like, you know, tennis is so freaking hard and ping pong is just like, it's small. Like, right? I mean, Max, am I somewhere on the right track with this?
Yeah, I would agree with it. Adam generally likes to call it's like ping pong, but you're standing on the table. I've heard him use that one before. So definitely is. And I would also describe ping pong as small. And yeah, pickleball, though, it's what, a third the size of a tennis court, roughly?
Yeah. There's
about three of them in there.
Is it? All right. Yeah. So now, how did you get into this?
Sure. I actually first played it in Iowa in high school back in the early 2000s.
It didn't exist then, did it?
It did. The 1960s in Washington, Bainbridge Island, Washington, is when it first came to be. We didn't believe it was a real sport, though, in the early 2000s. We thought the gym teacher had made it up. You know, he threw us a wiffle ball, some plastic paddles. We put the badminton net on the ground. And, yeah, he pointed to some of the sets of the lines on the gym floor and said, these are the pickleball lines. So, yeah, we made the most of it, but I reacquainted myself with it post-COVID, like a lot of folks did in 2021, and yeah.
I always think this would have grown faster, and I saw the story of how it got started in this guy's driveway and the whole thing, he just invented it. But, like, couldn't they have come up with a better name? Like, how can you take it seriously with that name?
I agree. I think maybe pickleball is the least favorite part about pickleball. The name of it is for a lot of people, but even that, you know, people can't agree on where the name came from. So,
yeah,
I mean, okay renaming it if you want to propose that.
Yes, I would like to. I'm going to come up with one. But in the meantime, speaking of names, Third Shot Pickleball, I mean, for those who play pickleball, there is this thing about the third shot. But is that where the name comes from, of course?
It does. The third shot's the most important shot in a pickleball point because it determines the outcome of the point about 80% of the time.
Really? 80%?
Yeah. So it's really important to learn how to do that. And how we came up with that name, Max and I each had a different name that we were considering. I was out of town up at my ski condo. My girlfriend, who was a beginning pickleball player, was watching videos, instructional videos on YouTube on how to hit an effective third shot. And she kept sending me these videos. So I went to sleep after watching like 5 instructional videos on the third shot. And, you know, I'm an older person, so I wake up in the middle of the night, maybe needing to use the restroom. And I was like, third shot pickleball. I wonder if that domain's available. So at 2:30 in the morning, I, from my cell phone, bought third shot pickleball and called Max the next day. And he agreed it was a great idea.
That's super cool. All right. So
I'm sitting here with you guys in this, and I've noticed some of your other locations. You're going to open one not too far from my house in Littleton. This is basically a big open box of a building. It used to be, what did it used to be here?
This was a former grocery store, Lucky's Market grocery store.
Got it. Oh, that's right. So they had walls or they had something. But basically, to create one of these, you have to basically empty it out and then put in these courts. It doesn't look that complicated to install it, but is it?
There's a little more to a build out than one might imagine. And there's a lot of important criteria in finding the right building. So not every building is suited for it. You need the right ceiling heights. You need the right column spacing, the right zoning, ample parking. You know,
I didn't
those
think
are
about
all...
the column spacing. Look at these. But yeah, these columns do lend themselves to having pickleball courts in between them. You don't have any padding on them, so I don't think people are... Right? I mean, there's space...
We have padding on some of them.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I guess you would. Yeah, it's light. Yeah. All right.
But Max, I'll let Max answer. How many buildings do you think we looked at before we found the right one?
Yeah, I would say probably a dozen or so. At least a dozen.
Wow.
So even more so just digitally looking at them online and being like, nope, 14-foot ceilings, that's not going to do it.
And I noticed these pads hanging from the ceiling. Are they sound dampers?
Yep, there are 640 sound baffles up there.
So where does the money come from to build one of these? Because, I mean, I don't know, you're probably not going to give me... Can you give me the real number, how much this cost to build out?
I could tell you it's in seven figures to build out a pickleball
club.
I would
guess that it's over $1 million to turn this into what it is.
Yeah.
And how long does it take? I mean, basically, you're gutting it, and then... You got to put down these nice floors, but is there much more, and hang the baffling, but is there much more to it?
Sure. I mean, there's variable things.
Beer kegs.
Yeah,
beer
depending tabs. On what we got going on, we have to add bathrooms in some of them. Lighting needs to be changed. Mm-hmm. Certain buildings may not have appropriate fire sprinklers. You know, what would be appropriate for a warehouse full of boxes may not be appropriate for several hundred people. The rules change a little bit with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense. So, was it harder, easier than you thought to turn your very first one into an actual business?
Can I say both?
Well,
certain things went really smoothly. Certain things were frustratingly difficult at times.
Like what? You know? What's an example of something that was super frustrating?
I would say construction delays. It's a learning curve.
Is that typical though? Or is that, well, so talk about the learning curve, because you'd never built one the first time.
Sure, absolutely. And you know, each building, again, is different. So, you know, what we determine to be an appropriate level or amount of HVAC for a certain building, this building has skylights, for example. So that's going to be a different HVAC load versus one that doesn't have as many, or one that faces, you know, the same direction as the sun coming up or sun setting. You know, we have, fortunately, no windows on the west side of the building, so we don't take any of that solar gain in.
That would be a factor too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Even down to, you know, headlights coming in through the front windows at night, you know, and having to minimize those or tint those windows, those things of that nature.
I never thought about that. Yeah. All right. So I want to talk some about, because pickleball, it's no secret, it's just boom, boom, boom. It's exploding. And so when you think about location, I mean, you're starting to see them all over, in this case, Denver, but all over the country, starting to see these spring up. I mean, at some point, like, I would think people only drive so far. Is there like a 5-mile window, you know, sort of areas? How do you figure that out?
Sure. So, you know, in the fitness industry, there's typically more of that, you know, 5-mile or even shorter radius. People want to go to a gym close to home or close to work. Coming from a tennis background, so I owned Meadow Creek Tennis Club for 20 years. And in the tennis industry, which I view as more similar to the pickleball industry, people will drive up to 45 minutes to go play. I mean, we have people that you know, before we opened our Longmont Club, were coming down from Fort Collins to play in Wheat Ridge.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, absolutely. Are you talking about two? Are you talking about, like, a lot of people? People will really drive far.
Absolutely. We currently have people from Summit County that come down here at least once a week, sometimes more than, to play pickleball in the winter.
Okay, but if there were a pickleball facility between there and here, would they join that one because it's closer?
I would say maybe. It would depend on how well that facility was built, the kind of customer service that they got, the quality of the courts, the quality of programming and play. There's a lot of factors that go into that.
Because this is a different answer than I expected. Because I really thought, like, if there are three pickleball courts between A and B, that I would choose basically the one that's closest. You're saying not really.
Yeah, we have customers here, and just recently I've had conversations with a couple of different couples that live very close, like two to five minutes from a competitor's facility, but they choose to come to our club because of the community, because of the program, because of the way they're treated here, and which is music to my ears, right? Huh. Love to hear that.
So this isn't really just courts for rent. It's
correct.
Something more.
There's a lot more.
So describe the a lot more part. Passing the mic.
Sure. Well, we do have a bar. I can't say that's the a lot more, yeah. But for many people, that's a great starting point.
Is that because
right?
One of your partners is Dale from Oscar
It certainly is. We planned to have the Dale, or we planned to have the beer before we had the Dale.
Oh, you
but
did.
Yes,
all right.
There's certainly a factor. But, you know, building on his success there, like, you know, I mean, there's a certain community that's around alcohol consumption. People go to bars for that anyway. But, you
and
know,
Mrs.
athletics.
Dale from Oscar Blues.
Correct. Yep.
From, yeah. And he's now your partner up north.
Yep. The Dale from Dale's Pale Ale, if you're familiar with that beer.
Yeah,
that's that Dale, as we like to say. It's that Dale. But, you know, sports are the same way, where there's a lot of community. And so, you know, we're checking a few different boxes here in terms of, you know, having a bar for some of that social element. People can come here and have parties. They can celebrate. They can do things where they would normally just go to a bar and drink. They can actually come here now and enjoy some pickleball as well. A lot of people find their way back to pickleball from other sports. Mm-hmm. They either got injured out or aged out, depending on what sport they were playing. Certain sports, you know, if you're not... I hate to say if you're not pro, but even still, you know, some of the jumping that volleyball requires or basketball or something, many people don't play those as late. People will play tennis later, you know, swimming goes later, but, you know, pickleball is something they can play till 90 or till they can't walk anymore.
I used to play squash, and it's like, I know. It's, you did too? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Adam, But I saw a sign now. Who was that poster? Of a pro tennis pro now getting into pickleball. I mean, there's like it's happening. Like all these pro athletes have now become really engaged in pickleball, right?
Absolutely. No, it's pro athletes like Golden Tate from the Seahawks. He's got a pro paddle now. Let's see here. Jack Sock obviously came over from tennis. Andre Agassi now.
That's
he's
the
got
one
a pro
I saw
paddle.
Out on your sign out there. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Agassi Pro, which is a great paddle from Yola
come on,
there.
How hard is it to make a paddle, really? I mean, you put your name on it, I get it, but come on.
And that's, you know, that's the way many people thought, right? And you see something like that and they think, oh, it's just they slapped his name on there.
Yeah.
That paddle plays pretty well. My teaching pros will tell you there's actually some magic behind that particular construction. So
nice. All right. Yeah, go.
Yeah, I just want to add a couple differentiators because I think that was part of your question.
Yes, it is.
And you know, we have a lot of programming that we do, so it's not just courts for rent, which was your question.
It was.
So, you know, we have several instructors on staff. They do clinics, drill classes, drill and play with the pro, private lessons. We have free introductory lessons to pickleball several times a week to help people learn the sport in a fun and professional way.
And it helps them become acclimated to your facility. And
absolutely.
You know,
we offer a lot of leagues at all different levels for men, women, and mixed doubles. So I think rather than just having courts available for rent, and we do open play as well, you know, it's all of those different programs that make a difference, too.
Open play meaning what you pay and you're just part of the rotation?
You bet. You can come in and play, and we segregate that by levels most of the time, but we also have all level ones. So, but you come in and you stack your paddle and you rotate in, and you get to meet lots of people and become part of the community.
So, all right, that's kind of a question because I play at a public court with a buddy, and we show up, and we just want to play. Like, we don't want to rotate. We don't want to be social. We want to play for an hour. We want to leave. And it seems like there's almost kind of two, like people who are still working have a different approach to this game than people who are retired and want to spend the day here, right? So how do you manage that?
Yeah, I think that's one of the benefits of our indoor clubs is that people can reserve a private court if they want to. If you want to be part of that public community and meet new people and play, you can. But if you want to reserve a court just with your buddies and play for an hour or two, it gives you that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. So as you split your revenue, how do you, you know, I know there's some hospitality, food and beverage and all that, but when you think about how, you know, per hour or per league or how does your revenue split? Are you looking that up? Ha. Go ahead.
Sure. The majority of our revenue does come from actual pickleball, you know, court reservations, doubles and singles reservations, that type of thing. We do a lot of private lessons. We do a lot of leagues. You know, percentages wise, I would say the bars, less than a quarter of what the business does. You know, depending on the particular season, people tend to drink more in the winter than they do in the summer. Yeah. It seems like they're more active. The courts are a lot more in demand in the winter than they are in the summer.
All right, I'll take a quick break, guys. You're listening to ProCo 360, named Best Colorado Business Podcast the last 4 years. I'm your host, Dave Tabor. This is a podcast for people who love Colorado and the stories of Colorado businesses and entrepreneurs. My guests today are Adam Kahn and Max Ireland of Third Shot Pickleball. Hey, thanks to our sponsors, Kinsley Meetings, and Kinsley Meetings is ProCo 360's longest-running sponsor. They're growing based on a great reputation for producing meetings and conventions that serve their customers' goals and objectives. Thanks also to Via Technologies. They host ProCo 360. I appreciate the help from their team around managing the website. Colorado Biz Magazine is our partner who's working with us to build our audiences. Finally, Denver Angels. And we've been working with Denver Angels to promote great Colorado companies. Go to ProCo360.com and check out these partners. And hey, one more mention. I'm a CU business alum, and so I am really happy that ProCo 360 is partnering with the Leeds Business School at the University of Colorado Boulder to reach each other's audiences. On the Leeds Business Insights podcast, you can discover fresh insights from conversations with professors, alumni, and thought leaders who share lessons from their successes in Colorado and beyond. Listen to the Leeds Business Insights on your favorite podcast platform. Okay, I want to talk some more about pickleball. And okay, I got to ask this question because it seemed like, you know, pickleball is a sport that maybe started out mostly for older people who lost a step. And you referred to, we talked about, you know, not playing squash anymore, Adam. So, but, you know, we want something recreational, something even competitive, right? That's softer on our bodies, maybe easier to do, but like it's drawing lots of young people. Like bocce ball, like never did that. So what's with pickleball that makes it interesting to young people as well as people that are older?
Well, I'll happy to jump in that one first and just
seeing as you're
say,
under 50.
There we go, under 50 for now. And so, you know, joking, I can tell you exactly how my wife and I got back into it. You know, our neighbors that live behind us kept encouraging us to play. And I said, you know, look, Shelby, we're going to play pickleball when we retire. We know that. That's what retirees do.
That's my point.
We already know
that. Yeah.
So let's not wait till we're 65 to learn to play. Let's be the best people going in. So we're like, we're going to play once a year for the next 30 years. We'll be good at pickleball by the time we retire. That turned to playing 5 or 6 times a week to turn and open a pickleball club. And, you know, simply it's fun, it's athletic, and it's communal. You know, the close proximity to others, there's so much laughter. Hopefully you can dial all that back down in the background. But it's just a lot of fun. And I think a lot of people, you know, they played sports when they were little because it was fun. Then they got into the grind of high school and varsity and can you go pro and all this. And then the life got in the way, you know, and finding things that are fun and athletic, competitive and social are just, it's just magnetic.
You know, that, what you've just described, I think you did that really well because it's so hard to find, and until pickleball, maybe it didn't exist, something that was fun and athletic, and you could get better at it, but you don't have to. Like, you can, other games that you're not good at are frustrating. Pickleball, you can still have fun, even if, like, I think you did a really good job explaining what makes it magnetic. Yeah. Did you want to add that?
Yeah, well, you see people that come to our free introductory classes and they've never picked up a paddle before, maybe never picked up any sort of racket sport. And in 15 to 20 minutes, they're able to play and have fun and they're laughing. And,
yeah. Which is so interesting because I know tennis had a moment, you know, in the 70s and everybody was playing tennis, but it was frustrating. And like, you have to be good at it, I think. You have to be good at it to have fun. And the process of getting good is miserable. I think.
Agreed.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I came from that background, right? An interesting statistic for you is now the largest demographic, the largest age demographic of people playing pickleball now is 24 to 35.
That is astonishing.
Yeah, it's like 40%. It's remarkable.
I wonder if that's also because the learning curve is short, and so you don't have to invest a ton of time. And so even though people are working, they can take an hour, meet friends, have a beer, and it's a social activity, right? I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with everything you just said.
Wow. All right, so let's talk more about the business and about the sort of this expansion model, because you guys have gone from one. Did you anticipate opening several when you started this?
We did. We were not getting into this planning on opening several locations, but we were having so much fun and it was going so well that we decided it made sense. I actually read an article in the Longmont Times Call paper about the high demand for pickleball and not enough courts. And that is what prompted me to look in that market. And then we found a perfect building and a perfect partner in Dale. And
yeah.
and that was our next location. And then it just kept going from there. It's been, our expansion has been a lot about people and having the right people. And those people have really reached out to us. Mm. And then having a market that we feel like is an underserved market has been secondary to the right people.
So, is it one of these things where pickleball is continuing to grow so fast that if you build it, they will come? Is the demand still there?
The demand is still growing rapidly, although we are more cautious about wanting to open a location anywhere close to a competitor. We want to make sure that we create enough space so that everyone that wants to get into this business succeeds.
That makes sense. I mean, we've seen it in other industries where everybody just jumps in. And I just listened, this is completely unrelated, listeners, but just listened to a story in the Wall Street Journal about Pueblo, Colorado, where they had like 200 pot shops and they all are going broke. Like, there's no fun in that. If you create an environment where everybody can't succeed, what's the fun for you?
Yeah, it's not worth all the headache.
Although I can imagine others may not share that view and they see, an empty block across the street and they'll take it, but you hope not.
Yeah. There are some other companies out there that we feel like maybe don't have that same philosophy.
Yeah. So at some point, though, you're going to hit saturation. I mean, two things could happen. One is saturation. Another is, the trend wears off, and then then what do? Do you see that happening? Is this like, can pickleball be more sustainable than tennis was, for example?
Sure. Those are great questions. And I mean, when you look at, industries in Colorado that have gone through major growth phases, like craft brewing, which Dale knows well and has seen, taper off. Same with cannabis, huge explosion, and then, tapered off. There's a lot of folks who will follow trends, whether they have the passion for it or not. And I think once saturation point hits, that passion for whatever it is, for the cannabis, for the craft brewing, for the pickleball, is what will differentiate those that do succeed and those that don't.
Well, I just wonder if there's, maybe this is all the rage now, but it's still, for all the reasons you said earlier, it's still active, it's fun, it's not, you can get as good or not as good as you want and still enjoy it. So maybe the recipe for continuing this trend is maybe that mix is just better than other things.
It could just be the ultimate dish. Sometimes people bring up the C word, which is CrossFit. CrossFit was super, super big deal. And then it fell off. But I don't know about you, my grandmother never did CrossFit. She was never into it, And people also talk about padel and some of these other racket sports, which are a blast.
Yeah.
But, the infrastructure for a padel court is much higher than what it takes to do a pickleball court. You can't do them outside as well. And just the intensity of some of these things, the joyful fun of pickleball without the intensity that's going to make, grandma lose her teeth or your young cousin, fall and break their ankle. You can play it multi-generational and everyone still has fun.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Although I do like to compete. I like the intensity.
Absolutely.
But you give the opportunity for that too.
Yep.
So how would you mix? I mean, because you see now, like I've seen on Prime, there's you can watch pickleball tournaments and all this. Like, as you think about how the industry sort of shapes and evolved and all that, now it's getting into tournaments. So is there going to be a temptation to either be good or not engage? I mean, at some point, just like, youth soccer and all that. It used to be like when I was growing up, everything was recreational and that was okay. And then it started to scale into this competitive machine. And I just wonder, is that, as more people like pros become big, is there going to be a temptation? Well, I'm not good enough to do that anymore. Do you have to manage that in the business?
As a non-pro, I'll take a quick stab at that, and then I'll hand it off to an actual pickleball pro.
Oh, he's cracking his neck. He's ready to go.
Adam's going
to
be ready for this one. But I think there's definitely a percentage, even perhaps of folks that play in our club, who maybe in the back of their mind, 1 or 2% thinks, I might still go pro in this. And there are certainly folks who, you know, have the athletic gifts. They played Division I college tennis and have picked up the sport really well and maybe are poised to make some kind of an amateur or semi-professional kind of a run. But I think a lot of people, you know, again, they left those sports the first time for that reason, hopefully aren't coming back in their mid-40s, 50s, whatever, you know, in their mid-30s yeah. even, and thinking, hey, this is going to be my second round. I think looking at the Olympics, what, curling is generally the only sport you see out there where folks are jumping into it in their 50s and 60s. Not to discourage anyone out there, I think you could potentially still make it happen. But I think most people are here for the fun and the community and, you know, mm-hmm. just seeing how far you can take it. And if, you know, you win enough tournaments, just you decide you need to go step into some bigger ponds.
You know, my question is, really, does the evolution of tournaments begin to differentiate players, like, who think I'm not that good or... You know, those people are so good. I mean, does it become discouraging as the sport evolves?
So I think there's room for both, and there's interest in both, right? There's, I would say the bulk of the players are recreational, but as they become competitive, tournaments offer play at all different levels.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could play in a tournament at a beginner level, or you can play in a tournament at a professional level, and everything in between.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of if you want to get out there and test your skills, you know, against, if you're an intermediate player against other intermediate players, mm-hmm. a tournament's a fun venue to do that.
Nice. All right, what about, I know you mentioned to me during an earlier conversation something about sponsorship opportunities, and is that part of the mix now at a place like this where, what are they? Are they paddle manufacturers or other kinds of sports drinks or what? Who are your sponsors?
Sure. It is. We have not really delved into that deeply yet, but Skechers is one of our sponsors.
Really?
They've been fantastic in multiple, you know, of our locations of our clubs, providing footwear for our pros, and then of course we carry their footwear in our pro shop. But we have a couple of realtors, Ann Pilaj and Gig Blitz, who are also a sponsor, and then Prestige Imports, the Audi and Porsche dealer here.
So local companies will want to have some visibility here. And that raised a question, which is this an audience that's somewhat affluent? Like, where does this fit in the demographics of income and such?
Sure. I mean, so I would say yes in the fact that obviously we have an Audi dealership who's willing to sponsor the sport. They're seeing some of that.
Yeah.
Obviously, some of their customers are also pickleball players. They've heard enough about it to think it's worth being here. You know, the parking lot generally looks fairly nice out there. I'm not going to fault anyone out there for what they're driving. But that being said, you know, I mean, the sport does exist at the complete other end of the spectrum too. You know, for free in parks, you know, people come into our free classes here.
Equipment's cheap too.
Absolutely.
I mean, super cheap. You can get started for $25.
So. Yeah, absolutely. No, you can. Amazon has made pickleball paddles and gear extremely accessible at a very low cost.
That was
cost.
My first one, yeah.
Yep. I think a lot of people, that's even what we encourage. We can't compete with Amazon in the $20 paddle market.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So, what's the deal with indoor versus outdoor? I mean, you know, we live in Colorado. It's one of the sunniest places in the world. And why indoor courts? I know there's wind and stuff like that, but talk about the need for indoor versus outdoor.
Absolutely. It comes down to quality of experience. You know, ultimately what people want are competitive games. And when games, you know, are determined by which team is facing the sun or which team brought bug spray or who has water, who went to the bathroom before and isn't trying to hold it for 2 hours so they want to go in the porta potty, all of those things just kind of start to detract from the experience overall. And you know, there are... You walk by many parks, you know, and you can see monkey bars out there. You can see little, like, really limited workout stations. People could go work out outside, but you'll notice, you know, most gyms are indoors. You know, again, Huntington Beach maybe would be the one hot spot
That's a
area.
Good point.
There are just certain things that you can do outside, but the experience is oftentimes better inside.
That's
snow skiing
point.
Is not generally one of those things. There are certainly exceptions.
But also at night, like, you know, I mean, it's light out till 8 mm-hmm. or 9 in the summer now, but if it's November and you want to play pickleball, you can come play at 5 o'clock,
absolutely,
6 o'clock. Or how late do you open?
Yeah. Well, lighting, weather, those are factors. Yeah. And the neighbors are actually the biggest factor.
Yes, that's been such a big deal with the noise.
I saw this morning that Florida has banned pickleball courts in all their state parks. It's partly because of the property, the noise, whatever. But it's partly because of they feel like it has impact on the wildlife there. Just the noise of the pickleball itself, they think is that. So people have asked us, hey, you're going to put pickleball courts on your roof? You know, we have apartments all around us. We're just too close to the neighbors. They would not be pleased with that. Our model has been predominantly, I think we have one outdoor court in the parking lot in Evansville, Indiana location.
Huh.
And that was a secret surprise to all of the rest of us. So, correct.
Wow.
It does back up to a cornfield.
Oh, that's funny.
Yep. So,
yep. That makes sense. All right. What kind of want to wrap up on this topic? And I know you're in Colorado, and this is the weird question because here you are in Colorado where we just talked about the weather. You don't need to be indoors, but you've talked about the experience again. But has Colorado been a particularly good place for third shot pickleball?
Yeah, absolutely. We do have pretty strong winters here, and as beautiful as the summers are, you know, at a certain point they do get kind of too hot.
Yeah.
We also unfortunately have smoke that's sometimes not even forest fires in our state. Canada, California, those situations do make outdoor activities less pleasant.
And you know, it is true. Summer days are 95 degrees sometimes. Yep. So, yeah.
Yep.
What have we talked about pickleball and third shot pickleball that we need to cover that you like to talk about that we haven't yet? Are you making money? Got to talk about that.
I would say the fact that we're willing to continue opening clubs should certainly confirm that the clubs are doing well thus far. Again, I think that we do put forth a good product. The Wheat Ridge Club here did just win the Denver Westward Best of Denver Award for the second year in the row for best place to play pickleball. So, you know, it's not just as simple as, hey, throw some courts and some nets in and people will come on and you'll be a millionaire. You have to go out there and treat people well and assemble the right team and put the right offerings in place.
Yeah.
And,
is the sky still the limit on this thing?
We believe so. The sport
really?
Is still
you
in
believe
its,
that?
The sport is still in its infancy.
No, there's no way. There's no way that if what was the number? 22 million? How many million? I had a stat here. 14 million people play. There's no way you're still in your infancy.
The sport is still in its infancy. It's remarkable.
Oh, that's right. It's coming.
And the Pro Tour. You know, I was just reading this past week the PPA, which is the Pickleball Pro Tour, the growth of viewership, both televised matches as well as in person ticket sales and people going and watching the events live, just continue to grow. Exponentially.
Okay.
And so that's bringing more and more larger dollar sponsors into the sport. The more it gets that type of exposure, the more new people learn about it and want to try it.
Come on. Okay. What were you saying?
I was saying, you know, the Olympics are looking at it now.
Yeah,
the NCAA is looking at it now to officially sanction
it.
There is a college world, you know, championship that Duper hosts and puts on, but it's not NCAA yet. So you're seeing some schools.
So there's room for all of that.
Add a little bit of, you're starting to see scholarships show up for that, you know, luring some of those tennis folks away.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to watch, and I've watched them on TV. I'm like, wow! And then, of course, on YouTube, you can see these miracle points that people make these shots. I'm like, it's pretty fun. All right, let's wrap up. I'm Dave Tabor, your host, and today on ProCo 360, you've been listening to my conversation with Adam Kahn and Max Ireland, owners of Third Shot Pickleball. It's been so fun to have you on ProCo 360. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Dave, very much.
Yeah, it's been fun being here. Thanks.
Yeah, listeners, glad you're here on ProCo 360, where we say live, work, love Colorado, because you and I and my guests can be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. You make the show successful by subscribing to the ProCo 360 podcast. And if you haven't yet, it's a huge help if you submit a review in your app. Thanks again to show sponsors Via Technologies, Kinsley Meetings, Denver Angels, and Colorado Biz Magazine. That's the show. Live, work, love Colorado.